Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this dunya for a very, very short time, but with a purpose. We have a purpose of our life, and what is that purpose? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ. Allah has created the jinn and ins for His ibadat, worship. Worship is a comprehensive word. It includes certain rituals, but it embodies the whole life, whatever we are doing, and how to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. You make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a manner, with the feeling that you are visualizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you cannot attain this feeling, at least have this feeling that Allah is watching us. Allah is looking at us. Worship. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, he was asked, what does a person gain from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And his reply was, a person, he loses rather than gains. What does he lose? Due to worshipping and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a man, he loses his ego, he loses his pride, he loses his arrogance, he loses his greed, he loses the taste of sin, he loses impatience, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala in his tafsir, he writes, illa liya'budun. In actuality it means illa liya'rifun, to recognize Allah. Who is our creator? Who is our Lord and Master? Who is nourishing us? Who is sustaining us? To recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah is the kalima of ma'rifat, of recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ma'rifat of Allah, it is the most virtuous knowledge, most exalted knowledge. La ilaha illallah. This kalima starts with la. There's a negation first, a refusal first, a denial first. La. Whatever is besides Allah has been made, has been created. The creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the entire creation, it needed Allah's will to come into existence. Similarly, the entire creation, it requires Allah's will to do anything. Makhluk, no matter how powerful it may appear, makhluk, no matter how strong it may appear, makhluk, no matter how lofty it may appear, it has no standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is khaliq and the rest is makhluk. Allah is Malik and the rest is Mamluk. To do anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally independent of his entire makhluk. And the entire makhluk to do anything is totally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makhluk is makhluk. La ilaha illallah. This is the kalima of ma'rifat, of recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every Nabi that came, every Prophet that came, he had the same slogan. He called the people, Ya ayyuhan nas, Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. O people, you recite La ilaha illallah and achieve success. La ilaha illallah is also the kalima of iman, the kalima of ikhlas, the kalima of tawheed. This kalima is so weighty, so heavy. If this kalima is put on the seven heavens and the earth, because of its weight, the seven heavens and the earth would crumple down. La ilaha illallah, not merely words. It's a haqiqat, it's a reality. To achieve the reality of La ilaha illallah, every Nabi had to make his utmost efforts, most of the time of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was spent in trying to bring the reality of La ilaha illallah within the hearts of the people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came last of all. He is Khatimul Nabiyin. 23 years of prophethood. He spent 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, 10 years in Madinah Munawwarah. The ulama say nearly most of the commandments, they came in Madinah Munawwarah. More time in Makkah. What was happening in Makkah Mukarramah? Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he says, we were inculcating the reality of La ilaha illallah within our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this human heart a very strange thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, within the human heart is a piece of flesh. If this goes right, the whole body is right. If the human heart, this piece of flesh goes wrong, the whole body goes wrong. This piece of flesh is the human heart. It is rectified, the whole body is rectified. If the heart is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. And the rectification of the heart is that within this heart should be only La ilaha illallah. 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah. The one making efforts is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on whom efforts were being made was Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah alayhi majma'in. And what heights of iman did they attain? Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, if all the curtains between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are withdrawn, even then there won't be the slightest increase of iman with me. Even now it is as if I am visualizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my own eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked one sahabi, "How did you wake up in the morning?" And his reply was, "Ya Rasulullah, I woke up with the haqiqat of Iman." How do you say it? "Ya Rasulullah, my condition has become such. In the daytime I am fasting. In the nighttime I am away from my bedding, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praying. And my condition has become such, I can visualize the people of Jannat greeting one another. I can visualize the people of Jahannam cursing one another, as if the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of my eyes." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on hearing this, said, "O Harsa, you are the one whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enlightened with the noor of Iman. You maintain it. The reality of La ilaha illallah, the one who recognizes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he won't leave Allah and go to something else. Not provisions, not possessions, not passions, not positions. He will run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fafirru ila Allah. His only direction would be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has recognized his Lord, his Creator, his Sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. He is alone. Allah has no companion. Allah has no partners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no comparison, no resemblance. None like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is wahdahu la sharika lahu. None equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman, that level of Iman. One sahabi, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have achieved the reality of Iman." And he started explaining how his condition was. "Ya Rasulullah, the angel sitting on my shoulders, writing my book of account, I can hear with my ears the sound of the writing of the pen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he demands from us. We who have come later bring that level of Iman which the Sahaba had achieved." That level of Iman. The Sahaba, they asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can one come to know that the reality of Iman has entered the heart? Or the light of Islam has come within the bosom? How to know about it? Any signs? Any litmus?" And the reply was, "Yes, there are three signs by means of which one can find out that the reality of Iman has come within the hearts. The first sign, a disinclination towards this Darul Ghurur, the house of deception, this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created this dunya, he created the earth, spread it, planted mountains on it. Raised the skies without pillars. Then made rain fall from the clouds. Made vegetations and trees grow from the ground. He split the oceans. Made the rivers flow. He folded the darkness of the night into daylight. And the daylight into the darkness of the night. If till the day of Qiyamah, it had been only the darkness of night, who besides Allah could have brought the daylight? And if it had been daylight till the day of Qiyamah, who besides Allah could have brought the darkness of the night? He made a system, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created this dunya, is saying this dunya is lahulab, is play and amusement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is calling it as Darul Ghurur, the house of deception. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us, this dunya has no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. If this dunya had the value even of a wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would not have given a single drop to drink to the disbelievers. A single drop of water to drink. This dunya has no value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, but it is very valuable. This dunya on this earthly life depends what would be our status in the hereafter. Where will be this dunya? The love of this dunya, it is the root cause of every evil. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned us, a time is going to come on my ummat, as the hungry people, they jump on food. The disbelievers would jump on my ummat. The Sahaba, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, what would happen with the Muslims of that time? We have be very few in number. The reply was, no, they would be in a very large number, very large number. Today, the surveys, they say, every fifth person on the earth today is he who calls himself a Muslim. They will be in a very large number. But their status would be like the foam on the sea. The waves of the sea, when they come to the shore, they form a foam. The next wave comes, throws that foam on the other side. The third wave comes, and from that, from the third side to the second side, the foam is thrown. The Sahaba, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, why would be this status of the Muslims of that time? And the reply was, a disease of Wahan would become epidemic amongst them. The Sahaba, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is the disease of Wahan? The reply was, Hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. The love of this dunya and the fear of death, when this disease creeps in the hearts of my ummah, then my ummah stands no chance to face the enemies. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned us, beware of this dunya. It does more magic rather than Harut and Marut. This dunya is the house for whom who has no house in the hereafter. This dunya is the wealth for whom who has no wealth in the hereafter. And he is the one to accumulate wealth in this dunya who has no intellect at all. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sayyid Wuldi Adam, the best in the progeny of Adam alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sayyidul Awwaleen, Sayyidul Akhireen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Imamul Anbiya. La yumkinu sana kama kana haqqahu. بعد از خدا بزرگ. تو یہ قصہ مختصر. How was the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, in the house in which I lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 8 years, that hujra, it was a part of Jannat. 8 years, how big it was. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, now she says, if we got up, the roof of the house nearly touched our heads. And if the night time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got engaged in salah, and when the time used to come for sajda, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to put his blessed hand on my feet, and then I used to come to know the time for sajda has come. I used to withdraw my feet, make space for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make sajda. 8 years in that house. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, now she says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from us, in that very same house, his blessed grave was made. And she says, I continued living in that house 2 more years went by. When Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he passed away. Again, in that very same house, his grave was made. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, I continued living in that house 8 years more, 10 years more. A small house, 2 graves. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was martyred, in that very same house, his grave was made. Small house and 3 blessed graves. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, then I left the house. To whom she was talking, the lady said, well, of course, no room left for you now. She said, no, no, not because of this. Not because of this. First, my husband's grave was made. Then my father's grave was there. When an mahram stranger's grave was made, because of modesty, I left that house. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, whenever I came to visit these blessed graves, I used to wrap a big cloth over me so that nobody could recognize me. This was the house and food. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, we saw 1 moon. Then we saw the 2nd moon. Then we saw the 3rd moon. 2 months consecutively. We had no need to kindle the fire and cook food because we had nothing. Then how did you go about? And she says, Asmadan, dates and water. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, even this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had to his bellies, will never ever. And when was this condition? Till when? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he departed from us, he passed away. That very day, night came. A desire arose within me, an intense desire to have a glimpse of Rasulullah's face. But there was no oil in my house to lit the lamp. I went to our neighbor's house. On loan I got some oil. On with this loan I lit my house's lamp. And then I saw the illuminating face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To the lady she was talking, the lady said, yes, that night you didn't have enough oil to light your house's lamp. And she said, if we had that, hadn't I would have drunk it because of hunger. That means there was nothing even to eat in that house that night. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the conditions that came were all opted for. He wanted it. Jibreel alayhi salam once came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you want, you can be a Malik al-Nabiyya. Along with prophethood, you can become a king. There were certain prophets. Sulaiman alayhi salam, they were kings, they were prophets. Dawood alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam. If you want, you can be a Malik al-Nabiyya. Or, if you want, you can be an Abd al-Nabiyya. Along with prophethood, be a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Jibreel alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this effect, I have 2 advisors in the heavens and 2 advisors on the ground. The 2 advisors are in the heaven, Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikail alayhi salam, and the 2 advisors I have on the ground are Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he looked at Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam with his hand, he made a sign down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam opted for Abd al-Nabiyya. Jibreel alayhi salam came in Makkah Mukarramah and said, Ya Rasulullah, if you want, a mount of Makkah can be turned into gold for you. And wherever you go, the mount of gold would move along with you. On this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a dua. Oh Allah, give me enough to eat one day so that I can straighten my back and be thankful to you. And the other day, I go without food so that I make sabr with you. And motivated the entire ummah. Kun fi dunya ka annaka ghareeb wa abiru sabeel. Live your life in this dunya like a traveler, rather like a roadside traveler. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to this effect, I don't fear famine on my ummah. What I fear is that the world with all its luxuries would open up on my ummah. There is a fitna for every ummah, a test for every ummah. And the fitna for my ummah is these worldly things, materialistic things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, O Aisha, if you desire to meet me on the day of judgment, do three things. Don't throw your clothes away until they are patched. Refrain from sitting amongst those, the company of the rich people, and live your life in this dunya like a traveler. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this effect, when my ummah would consider this dunya a valuable thing, then the value of deen would be erased from their hearts. The first sign that the reality of iman has entered the heart, the haqiqat of iman, Maulana Yusuf Khan Dehlvi rahmatullah alayhi was saying, the words of iman are very important, they are very precious, they are very valuable, but words are merely words. They direct towards the haqiqat. Haqiqat is something else. And to achieve that haqiqat, one has to make efforts, qurbani, sacrifice, struggle and strive. So the first sign, a disinclination towards this darul ghurur, towards this dunya. And the second sign, that iman with its haqiqat, with its reality, has entered the heart, is a love for Darul Khulood, the place where we are going forever and ever. Akhirat, it is coming. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, every Nabi that came informed his ummah about the hereafter, about akhirat. But the amount of information that I have given about akhirat, no previous Nabi gave this amount of information. And said to this effect, this dunya has been created for you. الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ. But already he said, وَإِنَّكُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. You have been created for the akhirat, the hereafter, the life that is going to come after death, the eternal life. Death is not the end. It is a part of a continuum that stretches into eternity, forever and ever. Akhirat, the love for the hereafter. Anas bin Nazar radiallahu ta'ala, he asked, Ya Rasulullah, if here in Uhud I lay down my life, I give my life, I'll go into akhirat, what will I achieve? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, you will enter Jannat. Jannat, the place of luxuries, beautiful mansions, where every desire would be fulfilled. No fatigue, no old age. Anas bin Nazar said, if I lay down my life, I'll go into Jannat. Immediately on his ride, he started running towards Mount Uhud, crying, saying, "By Allah, I can smell the fragrance of Jannat beyond this mount." And he was actually smelling that fragrance. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on his deathbed, his wife started weeping, sobbing, crying. "What happened? You are departing from us." And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "This is the occasion to celebrate, not to weep, not to cry. The time has arrived when I'm going to meet my Lord and Master. I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time has come when I'm going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm going to meet my friends and companions who have left me and gone before me." Death, when they came to know, at one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in his house, that blessed house, that hujra. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was there. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, she was there. A small house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he whispered something in the ears of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. She started weeping. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he again said something and whispered in the ears of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. She stopped weeping, and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, she started smiling. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went away. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, he asked Fatima, "Oh Fatima, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tell you? You started weeping, and then again after some time you stopped weeping and you started smiling." Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, she said, "Well, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had wanted that you should also know, why did he say all this within my ears? Why did he whisper? He should have spoken aloud, but he didn't want you to know about it." Time passed away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam departed, passed away. In that very same house now, an occasion came. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she was there. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, she was there. And this blessed grave, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she again asked, "Oh Fatima, do you remember that time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something in your ears? You started weeping. Then after some time he again said something, and you stopped weeping, and on the contrary you started smiling. And I had asked once, you had refused. Now what is there? Rasulullah has departed. You can tell me." And Fatima radiallahu anha, she said, "Yes, now there is no harm in telling you. No loss in telling you. I'll tell you. First time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam whispered in my ears, 'Oh Fatima, the time to leave you has come. The time to leave this dunya has come. The time to meet my Lord, my Creator has come.' When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this, I started weeping. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my father is departing from me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is departing from me." Then very soon he said, "Don't weep. Immediately after me, the closest relative that would come and meet me would be you." I started smiling. Two ladies, blessed ladies, a grave. Now it is in their mind, Fatima radiallahu anha is going now to die, leave. But they were happy. Darul Khulud, where we have to go forever and ever. There's no denial about it. We have to enter Akhirat. The information given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the Ummat. And this dunya is the preparation for the hereafter, for the Akhirat. Prepare for it. Because we are going to die. The third sign. The third sign that the reality of Iman has entered the heart. The first sign, a disinclination towards this Darul Ghurur, towards this dunya. A love for the hereafter, Darul Khulud. And the third sign, when a person is in preparation for death before it comes. The preparation of death. Be prepared. When is death going to come? Who can tell? Not a single second can be trusted in this dunya. But it is coming. There can be people who can deny about the hereafter, what is going to happen after death. There can be people, but there can be no one to deny that death is coming. Undeniable, irrefusable, death is coming. When 2/3 of the night used to go by, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to come to Masjid An-Nabawi and make an announcement. O people, remember Allah. O people, remember Allah. O people, remember Allah. For the quake of the hereafter is coming. The trumpet of Sur is going to be blown. And death with all its hardships is drawing closer and closer. Death with all its hardships. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was asked, O Ali, can you describe the hardship of death? And Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, yes. The pain of 300 swords simultaneously on a body. This pain is less and the pain of death is more. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was departing from us, a bowl of water was beside him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was placing his blessed hand in that bowl of water, wiping his face and saying, O Allah, make the difficulty of death easy on me. Allah says in the Quran, Kullu nafsin zaiqatul maut. Every living soul is going to taste the bitterness of death. Every living soul. We all are going to die. We have to. Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, in his book of Fazail al-Sadqat, he has written, a group of pious people belonging to Bani Israel, they came in a graveyard and made a dua. O Allah, you open a grave for us so that we may directly ask that person of the grave, what did he encounter? What conditions did he go under? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he answered their dua. A person appeared from the grave and he said, what do you want to ask me? Let me tell you. 50 years have gone by since I died, but the pangs of death can still be felt within me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, he is the wisest of all who remembers death most and prepares for it before it comes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam motivated the entire ummah, remember death, hazimul lazzat, the break of the luxuries. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked, Ya Rasulullah, is there any way that a person can attain martyrdom without going on the battlefield? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes. The one who remembers death 20 times, 25 times in this manner, Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. Allahumma barik li fil maut wa fi ma ba'd al maut. Daily, he will, when he dies, he will attain martyrdom. Remember death, it is coming. We are so absorbed in our worldly affairs, our daily routine, we have forgotten about death. But death has not forgotten us. When the ordained hour would come, the lungs would stop breathing, the heart would stop thumping, it will be a dead body put on a bed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, remember death. Asked one Sahabi, can you tell me when death is going to come? And his reply was, Ya Rasulullah, when I pray, make salah, I consider this salah to be the last of my life. On this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this effect, but what I say is, after the completion of my salah, I turn my face on one side to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm not at all sure whether I would have the occasion to turn my face on the other side. Not a single moment can be trusted of this dunya's life. And death is coming. We are going to die. Be prepared for it. A Sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, when is Qiyamah going to come? Rasulullah asked him, what preparation have you done for Qiyamah that you are asking me when Qiyamah is going to come? He said, Ya Rasulullah, not many amal, but the love of Allah and the love of His Prophet, they are deeply rooted within my heart. On this, Rasulullah said to this effect, with whom you love, on the day of judgment, you will be resurrected and be amongst them. So this work of tabligh, Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in his quotations is, I have not named this work as Tablighi Jamaat. People have started calling it. If I had the option to name this work, this effort, I would have named it as Tahreek-e-Iman. To take out our false yaqeen from the makhluk and bring it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true sovereign, the one who is doing everything. Not a single leaf on the earth can move without his will. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last of all the prophets, He transferred the invitation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards His ummah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ عَدُوِ لَلَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now responsible. The responsibility lies on us. The obligation, we are here to invite the rest of the people towards the oneness and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To invite the people towards obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To following the tariq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is this ummat, and Allah has praised us. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhriyat linnas. We are the best of the ummat. Why? We have been taken out for the benefit of humanity and mankind. Guide them, show them, teach them. This is the ummat who is going to do it. For this, we have this ishtama. Kab tak rahega ishtama? This ishtama would continue till Sunday Zuhr. So all are requested to be here in this ishtama. Participate in it. Bring your friends, be in this environment, and let every Muslim have this consciousness that I am the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I have a responsibility to fulfill, to act upon the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and bring the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevail over the entire surface of the earth. So all of you are ready for that, inshallah.